Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. If up the black police, that 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free. Okay, free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here. Up coin tail pro. Show. They got me started, lying hearted. I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit gon' be televised. Black power, be scared guys, that be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck all the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fuck me promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police, that 13th Amendment. Tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free. Okay, Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here. Up coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the counselor, the elder, cause that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Boys that don't tolerate it, melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation, Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Only 4 years, fantastic, young veteran,
you classy. Nah, knock the walls off. Fuck the whole key, we gon' hit the whole door off. I'm still AD, never forget it. It's life after death, roll the credits.
I hate to say my feelings won't do nothing.
Credit my maker, take a trip to see Jamaica. Molly spirit with the vapor, back to Zion, that's the nature. As for Southern New America, I hope I run this permanent. And this I put my pen in, they got my land and my permit with it. Bone on my bone, flesh off my flesh. Witness in me, you can't make me feel less. Let's hold, I'm not impressed. Let's smoke, I'm my iPhone like an empress. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. First name Eve, somebody ate the food, they told the great to never eat. I'm trippin', DNA seeds like I'm born gray, I be mad 2G's. Third world in it, first world I dated. No mentor, all my heroes assassinated. We been here, we incarnated. Tryna finish what they started and we made it. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin.
I fight you, I fight myself. I fight God to tell me how many burdens left. I fight pain and hurricanes, today I wept. I'm trying to fight back tears, blood on my doorstep. Life is living hell, puddles of blood in the street. Shooters on top of the building, government aid ain't relief. Earthquake, the body drop, the ground breaks. The poor run with smoke lungs and scarred face. Who need a hero?
Hero.
You need a hero, look in the mirror, there go your hero. Who on the front lines at ground zero?
Hero.
My heart don't skip a beat even when hard times bumps the needle. Mass destruction and mass corruption, the souls of suffering men. Clutching on deaf ears again, rapture's coming. It's all prophecy, and if I gotta be sacrificed for the greater good, then that's what it gotta
you
be.
Pray to me. Take my pain to me.
That's my bro, my family, bros in jail. When it comes to money, I did concentrate. Make I tell you straight, you are not my mate. If you become rich, I'll be head of state. But my people then go say, I know one buy, I know one die, I know one payment. I want enjoy, I want job life, I want buy moto, I want build house, I still want to know.
Tell me, my nigga, what's it gonna be? G-Wagon, all depend. Stick your chest, ride the whip. My nigga, what's it gonna be? G-Wagon, all the friends, they got it, ride the wind, I know people.
Swahili, what's the news? Hey, man, this is April 7th, 2022. You just heard from that Burner Boy right there with that yayo. And before that, they had Kendrick Lamar with the Black Panthers theme song. And prior to that, we had Sampa the Great with Your Formation. Hey, man, great inspirations that this sister bring to us for sure. Hey, man, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the New Black Panther Party, the New Africa Network, Thursday night business broadcast. I am your co-host, Brother Eugene Taupe, reporting live from Charlotte, North Carolina. Hey, man, great state I'm in and all states I'm in. The New Black Panther Party and the New African Network, We extend a big up to all our dynamic brothers and sisters tuning in each and every week. We are Black Grassroots Organizations and Black Businesses United, over 300,000 strong with the New African Network and growing, members, networkers, and affiliates, and with the new Black Panther Party, over 1 million strong worldwide. We are working together worldwide, Black businesses, Black activists, Black for-profit and nonprofit organizations working together to make a difference in the communities in which we live. In the African words of Kiswahili, tuko pamoja, which means we are together. All power to the people. All power to the people. First of all, we'd like to give a big up and a big asante to our First Lady and General, Dada Crystal Muhammad. She'll be in the show program with us a little bit later on in tonight's show. And we also like to give a big up to all the rest of the NBPP Nation Builders. Also, we want to give a big shout out to all of our sponsors, our supporters, our contributors, our business partners, our Black Nation troops and security teams, as well as legal advisors, the NBPP, Black Cross Emergency Medical and Social Workers Team. Hey, man, you guys don't forget to donate. You can donate for a worthy cause. Your contributions are highly needed, and they reach very far across the board, and especially around these times of disasters and unforeseen events. Donate today at www.nbpp.org. Hit the donate button. Hey, contribute as much as you can afford to do so. We don't ask for much, but your contributions, they go very far. We also want to give a big shout out to the New African Network, TV and Media Network, Board of Directors, team members and affiliates. And for more information, and you'd like to advertise with the New African Network TV and Media Network, you can contact us at the New Africa Network, and Africa spelled with a K, network at gmail.com. Brother Armani and the rest of us, we've been working very hard to assimilate and distribute news and vital information throughout the Afro-diaspora. So get in tune, get connected today. Also, we want to give a big shout out to one of our sponsors, Exquisite Import Export Trading Company, also doing business as ETC Logistics USA, your number one stop shop network for international trade and logistics services, providing services throughout the United States via the Caribbean, Central and South America, and hey man, our mother continent. For more information, you can contact ETC at 1-800-216-1750. That's 1-800-216-1750. ETCLogisticsUSA.com. So, here we are, April 7th, 2022. Let's jump tonight's broadcast off with highlights from the African Stock Market and Exchange Report. And here are some of today's highlights. First up, we have the Ghana Stock Exchange closed today at 2,692,898. It was down by 0.04%, reflecting a negative 1.19 on the index. Year to date, the market was negative 96.36 at 3.45% on the index. However, the market capped out today at $64 billion. And that was the end of the day on the trade on the GHS. Next up, we have the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. Closed today at 74,094.38. It was down by negative 0.36%. It reflected a close at negative 264.65 on the index. Year to date, the market was up at plus 384.99 at 0.52% on the index. The market capped out today at 20.87 million, and that was the end of the trade on the ZAR today. Next up, we have the Nairobi Security Exchange. It closed today at 157.42, down by 0.2%, reflecting a trade of negative 0.31 on the index. Year to date, the market was negative 904, reflecting at 5.43%, negative 5.43%. The market capped out at 2.45 trillion, and that was the end of the day on the KES. And next up, we have the Nigerian Stock Exchange. The market closed today at 46,543.51. It was down by 0.48% on the index, reflecting a negative 222.65. Whoa, those were some hot numbers right there on the 22. We talk about the year of the deuce. And I remember, hey, man, back in the 1970s, used to be this hot television show, used to come on television called Room 222. How about that? Anyway, the market was down at the end of the close of today. Year to date, the market was up at plus 3,827.07, reflecting at a 8.96% on the index. That was a plus. And the market capped out the day at 25.1 trillion. And that was the end of the day on the NGN. And yes, definitely, we're going to keep up with what's happening over there in Nigeria with the jumpstart of the African Industrial Revolution. Go Nigeria. Hey, also keep an eye out on that soccer team, football team that they got going on over there between them and I believe Ghana. Hey, man, we're going to see some extraordinary football this coming season. Next up, we have the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange closing at 16,599.79. It was up by 0.87%. It reflected a plus at 143.90 on the index. Year to date, the market was up at 5,777.43. Whoa, look at those numbers. Those are some Vegas numbers right there. And that was at a plus 53.30% on the index. The market capped out at 2.45 trillion. And that was the end of the day on the ZWL. Well, anyway, we would normally bring out the New York Stock Exchange, what was the close of today, and wasn't able to access that information after the close of the bell, but certainly we'll be bringing that information to you next week and next week broadcast. Yo, Afro nations are rising, Black nations are rising, and Africans are rising along with it. This is day 772 reporting since the pandemic, the pandemonium on the people, pandemonium on the whole entire world. Tonight's broadcast and topics, careers and opportunities in aviation and aerial space technology. Wow, that should be a pretty hot topic and conversation for us tonight, and we look forward to digging into this a little bit deeper. Of course, you know, last week's topic, we had brought the people vital information about automation, how to make money in your businesses and utilization of automation to help you organize as well as make money and also to be productive. These things and mechanisms that are combined with AI, artificial intelligence combined with mechanical mechanisms, these things have been coming a very trendy thing to be engaged in today's engineering sector. So, like I said, we're going to dig a little bit deeper tonight with tonight's topic as being the careers and opportunities in aviation and aerial space technologies. Our aviation and black people who have been involved in the history of aviation and aerial space technologies have been around for, you know, since aviation industry started in the early 1900s. Can you believe it? Some of our ancestors have been heavily engaged with the ingenuity as well as heroic means of being involved in that type of industry, and has led to extraordinary defeats in our day and time, and how aviation has progressed into the future. The term Black aviation describes a historical fact. It is described in a historical fact for the first half of the century, which the airline or airplane was first powered and put into flight. blacks in the early days of aviation under segregated circumstances continued to be enthused and engaged in the industry as it was moving and being pioneered into the future. The story of black aviation, one that has been known as breakthroughs against the restrictions of black people and certain ethnicities, can be put into a perspective where it gives great credit and the time that has been put in, and especially we being inclusive in the historical parts of both aviation and aerial space technology. One of the first isolated aviation pioneers, one that I can come to think of, is a lady by the name of Betsy Collins. And if all of you have known, there's been great documentaries and books that have been written about this extraordinary woman for her time period. And it comes to mind that she was doing some very extraordinary things where she was entrenched with all sorts of forms of discrimination for her time period. She started out as a stunt pilot, and her own inspiration had gone on to inspire many generations of black youth that have gone on to inspire pursued opportunities in the field of aviation. In the 1930s, African Americans formed flying clubs to promote aviation to the black community. The flying clubs made it possible for the Africans to participate in aviation, and members received training as pilots and as also mechanics. The lady was named as Betsy Coleman, who was the first lady pilot. Let me make a correction there. During 1933 to 1934, a long-distance pilot, a gentleman by the name of C. Alfred Anderson, along with Dr. Albert Forsyth, displayed both how they were able to utilize their flying skills as well as appealing for equity in the field of aviation here in the United States of America. In Chicago, there was a gentleman by the name of Cornelius Coffey. He established the first flying aviation school known as the Coffey School Academy of Aeronautics, and served as the president of the first National Airmen's Association here in the United States, for some history for you. These individuals that were recognized early on in the fields of black aviation had gone on to take their skills, and had also early recognized that blacks would need these skills as both aviation pilots, technicians, and engineers in order to keep up with the rising demand that the industry was demanding of many industries throughout the world. In 1939, the Chicago Flyers Club, with the help of the NAACP, had spurred a big debate and had to go to court with the federal government here as far as being able to offer the same opportunities and equality in aviation training programs to black people during segregated times. And at some times, it came to a head and had to go to court. And so Congress got involved and established the Civilians Training Program, and the training program consisted of getting black pilots during war times, getting these people trained during war times for emergencies, and for the first time, African Americans had received training for flight training and mechanics and skills training from the federal government under this CPT program in schools that were put into place during that time of the 1940s. And from that program, there were a number of licensed black pilots and mechanics that come out of these programs with the growing demand. And it was growing very dramatically at that time because the industry itself, things were needed, equipment was needed for the war. So many African-Americans who were in those sectors were able to get advanced skills and training in many of those sectors, however, under sometimes segregated conditions. The U.S. Army Corps activated the 99th Flight Squadron in 1942. It was the first time that blacks had were able to achieve a foothold in the military aviation sector. All of you may know some of this as a documentary about the Tuskegee Airmen. And during World War II, many of the civil rights leaders were calling for integration. They were actually discussing integration into the military, African Americans into the Air Corps. The War Department had continued to resist for many years advancing African Americans in certain sectors in aviation, in aeronautical engineering. And so, meanwhile, cadets continue to train, and that's how the Tuskegee Army Airfield was developed. That's how the actual program, the Tuskegee Air Program, was established during that time period. And it was the first air squadron that flew, which was known as the Black Air Force at that time. And between 1941 to 1945, the Tuskegee Airmen provided that blacks could be trained and they proved that blacks could be trained and mobilized for sophisticated tasks and also for combat flying maneuvering. It led to us moving forward, moving the U.S. Into fast forward in the aviation fields, in advancing technology. In 1948, President Harry S. Truman, he executed an order which was known as the 9981 Initiative. It was put on the table, and it called for equality opportunities in the armed forces. And in 1949, the Air Force became the first armed service to integrate black people into the service as an integrated military source. Very slowly afterwards, the civilian aviation, it fell into suit. And in the 1960s, African Americans were hired and promoted to these positions, responsibilities in the commercial aviation sector, as well as the private sector. And in 1965, a gentleman by the name of Marlon D. Green won a long-time court battle with the Continental Airlines over the rights to be a commercial pilot. As a result, black people began to break down barriers, racial barriers, in the airline industry. And in the 1960s, it entered a new full rank of space, type of people working in the space of aerial aviation and engineering. And most recent, which is our generation, black aviators have garnered many firsts. We're talking about people like Daniel James Jr., this extraordinary gentleman. He was one of the first black four-star generals, including Dr. Guyon Bluford Jr. was one of the first African Americans to go into space. We have great legacies and great people like Maya Jamison, the first black woman astronaut. And we also have Patricia Clark out of Washington, D.C., first black female captain to fly in a major airline. Nonetheless, we continue to progress. And although it has been slow, we are still underrepresented in many of these aviation sectors and in the industry. We try to make available information to our viewers and listeners that can benefit from getting engaged in new career opportunities. You know, speaking about the history of African Americans in the fields of aviation, some of the places that you can actually visit to find out where these sources of information come from are some of the great museums in and around the United States and also in Africa. Africa also has a great history of black aviation, and that is something to be included as well. We have museums that document the history of black aviation. And for those who are interested, they have a program known as the TOUR, the African American Air and Space Tour. You visit museums like the Aeronautical Space Museum. You also visit the World War I and II galleries. And this is also has a lot of history connected to the Tuskegee University. So do a little research, find out what the history is behind that, so you have a better informative gauge of getting into certain types of career opportunities. And also, hey, did you know the Apollo 11 lunar lander, the very camera that was made for this particular robot, the camera itself was created and designed by a black man by the name of George Carruthers. Hey, you would not have known that, and many of us don't, but hey, man, that's some history for you right there. So we give a big up to this brother leading the way in high technology. You can read more about blacks in aviation via the U.S. government's website, airandspace.si@edu, and it is a part of the National Space Museum Project, and you can access that information again at AIR and space at si.edu to get a little bit more information. Also, you know, as a part of our discussion tonight, we've talked about some of the first black men who flew planes, and that comes to mind to me, one of the first black men that was often talked about in my college days. Big shout out to Howard University, and also I got some good friends down there at Tuskegee as well, and a gentleman by the name of Emory Conrad Mellick, and he was one of the first students of it went to an institution by the name of the Curtis Aviation School in North Island, San Diego, California, and this was back in 1912, and he was one of the first few had received their pilot's license during that time period. This gentleman was only 31 years old, but he made great representation amongst the African-American community, being one of the first African-American pilots to receive a pilot's license. And this was recorded after 14 years prior. A gentleman by the name of James H. Banning. Yeah, that's right, man. This guy, he was doing some extraordinary things, too. He was one of the first people to really be flying planes. And so we give a big shout out to one of our great ancestors, James Banning. He was the first African-American to fly. And this was during the 1900s. That's when, hey, man, that's when planes were first coming out. This guy had an automobile-looking car-like thing, and they take off with the steering wheel, and, hey, that must have been some dangerous times compared to how aviation has come along today. Hey, well, anyway, we're going to get into a little bit of information about aviation careers. So this is the second part of our conversation tonight, and we were able to discuss some of the career opportunities with some brothers that I know who have been in the industry, who have been in the aviation field and sectors, providing vital information to provide to the Black community about maintenance, as well as getting engaged in aerial space, how things are advancing right now with NASA, and you probably see many of the spaceships that are going up by Elon Musk, and many of the space programs that are evolving just out of the private sector. So this is definitely is a game changer in our day and time in the 21st century. And like I said, these are some of the opportunities for us to get engaged with. So speaking of aviation careers, careers in the aviation office, many opportunities for the advancement in piloting and engineering and mechanics, airport operations, and aircraft manufacturing. These jobs are often, they take place in the commercial sectors, the commercial airline sectors. It also takes place in the private manufacturing sector with ingenuity and fabricating parts and also mechanics structure to keep these planes in the air, as well as building them from ground up. Just recently, we begin to see some of the new age technologies coming out, and you may want to peep out the new Jetson. The Jetson is a one-man power air car, and we'll get into that a little bit later on in the program, but that looks like that's going to be the next wave. The next wave will be autonomous flying vessels that can pick you up like a taxi and take you where you want to be within, you know, a 100-mile radius or so, and then autonomously bring itself back to a home port. And check out the Jetson, check out Elon Musk project, and definitely we'll keep you posted. Now, the Africans over there in Nigeria, they're doing some extraordinary things in manufacturing, too, in helicopter manufacturing, and I'll relay a little information about that a little bit later on in the broadcast. But anyway, private manufacturing companies and airports, government organizations, these jobs included being engaged with FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration. This is a connection outfit directly connected to the Department of Transportation. In that field of transportation and job opportunities, you know, some of the things we've actually talked about on the New Africa Network early this week. I had some people chime in, and they was like, man, Brother Eugene, you know, this is some good information that you've been kind of researching with us and putting together here, and I'd like to, you know, why don't you tell the public a little bit about, you know, some of the top choices for jobs in the aviation industry. So, yeah, I put together a small list, and one thing that I found through my research was that had a very big demand for pilots and co-pilots. There's a very big demand for air traffic controllers, air traffic and avionic mechanics, airport managers, and we also found some research in our research, they needing people for transportation security screening services. That's when you see those guys when you go in the airport, they kind of pat you down and have you run your bags through and stuff. Those are transportation service workers, transportation administration service workers, and these people are work for TSA, and they basically make sure that things are kept in orderly fashion, and also making sure everybody is safe while they're going through our major ports. Also, there's a big demand for air fuel operations specialists. Those are those guys you see out there on the field. Some of them, they are loading planes with highly valuable cargo, and some of them load baggage, and some of them will be fueling. You'll see some of them directing planes in and out of the actual docking stations, and also making sure that you, as the customer, stay safe
while you're in transition. Also, there are some good job opportunities also in aeronautical engineering. And when you speak of aeronautical engineering, like I said, there are big job opportunities with the new space race that's taking place. And you'll see that many of the today's space missions are now being directed towards taking some missions to Mars. So you've seen over the last couple of years, you've seen a lot of the new aerial space technologies, telescopes, and robots being flown to Mars. And hopefully we'll see within the next, I believe, 3 to 5 years, there's going to be some serious mission-taking response to that. Aviation provides the only rapid worldwide transportation network, which it makes up the essentials for global business. It also is a economic generator of, and it has a very high growth mechanism that is attached to it. It creates jobs, and it also facilitates the integration of both trade and as well as tourism. Some of the educational programs and major jobs that can be pursued in the industry consist of aviation degrees in flight training. You also have meteorologists. You also have aircraft maintenance and mechanics, as mentioned earlier. There are degrees in aerodynamics and aviation law and safety, and the list goes on and on. These jobs include aviation management also and practices, which help coordinate the planning of logistics and operations at aerial spaces, airports and airlines, and in the aviation sectors. And also, it helps with the flow of the people and cargo. And we found that some of the institutions where you can go to get higher learning at, as I recommended earlier, would be the Tuskegee University out of Alabama. And definitely reach out to them, and they have an extraordinary pilots as well as operational program, educational program. And what I understand, they partner with Boeing, and you can access their information at www.tuskegee.edu. And that's tuskegee.education.edu. And, yeah, so that's some good information for us there for tonight's broadcast. And you can tag that website and just pull up information on aerial space studies at the university. And you'll see that they have partnered up with Boeing and is now offering a wide variety of opportunities and how you can fit in the industry. So other than that, I believe I have talked the wind for a few minutes, and certainly we like to provide you with the opportunity, if you have anything you want to dialogue with while we're getting into to tonight's conversation. This is the People's Movement, and as most of us know, this is also the jumpstart of the African Industrial Revolution. Man, can you believe it? Hey, man, this has been a long time coming. And for those of you brothers and sisters who are hip about what's going on right now in the African diaspora, there are many economic opportunities that exist right now within getting engaged with many of the contract opportunities on the continent of Africa, and especially those who are falling in alliance with the ECOWAS regions. You've also have the East African Economic Collage, and these are all a part of the African Union initiative to bridge the gap between Africans in the diaspora with Africans on the continent, with us coming together as a people, and boom, well, you know it, the African Industrial Revolution has begun. It has already begun with many of the infrastructure. If you go there today, you would, it's unbelievable, beautiful place to be, and many opportunities existing in both Nigeria and Ghana and Cameroon, South Africa, Kenya, also in Djibouti. And we found that a lot of brothers and sisters in Somali are doing very good. Big shout out to Somali sister, Nini Dance. Hey, man, Nini say, yo, you better give me a shout out, Brother Eugene, next time you talk to your folks on the New Black Panther, New African Network radio talk show broadcast. She said if you guys want to hear some of her latest music, you can see some of her new music on YouTube at Nini, N-I-N-I, Dance, A-N-C-E, and Somali. And definitely you can see some of her great artist artwork that we've been providing to you on the New African Network. So special shout out to all of you brothers and sisters who are just tuning in. Some of you guys over there on the Mother Continent, is very early in the morning for you all. And some of you guys, you're just getting into the sunrise. And I'll yield the mic to see if anybody else want to weigh in. Black Power and One Love. This is Brother Eugene Cowper reporting live from Charlotte, North Carolina. All right, so we're going to continue on here. And Sister Crystal, I think she is still trying to get some things straightened out on her end there with the broadcast connection. So would you give her a few minutes to weigh in? Yeah, but tonight's broadcast, we were talking about careers in aviation and technologies, and how can Black people become more engaged on some of the career opportunities. And the discussion was very informative, where we had done extraordinary research throughout the week as a part of the networkers on the New Africa Network in exchange. And we talked a little bit about some of the careers pertaining to mechanics and career opportunities as far as managers and port operators and things of this nature. We are getting into the dialogue about also asking how can you become more engaged in the industry. As we are leveling up as African people, we see ourselves as being very progressive these days and want to enlighten ourselves and keep ourselves educated about what's happening. That way we cut down the divide, whether it's digital or educational divide, that sometimes tend to affect many communities throughout the world. How, let's see here. I have somebody chiming in here. Yeah, we have one of our people chiming here on the network. They are asking, how can they get info about the aviation career ops? And and pay. Yeah, one of the things, one of our great brothers, she definitely gave me a little information earlier today. If you want to learn a little bit more about the career opportunities and what these jobs pay, you can go to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics and just type in aircraft and avionics, and it will have a whole list of careers that are associated with that, as including equipment mechanics and technologies. Also sales reps, how can you get involved with being a part of providing sales and representation, both tourism as well as maintenance and repair. It gives a job summary. It gives information about pay. It also gives a job outlook for different sectors in certain states here in the United States. It provides information and data about training opportunities. And it has a whole list of contacts that you can get connected to in that website as well. And this includes the Aircraft Mechanics Association, the Professional Aviation Mechanics Association, and the list goes on. And one of our next messages that we have here on the network. Oh, okay, yeah. Hey, we had Brother... Hold up, let me see. Yeah, they had Brother Michael Ojo. Brother Michael Ojo, he has a very big YouTube content on aviation, and the brother is a pilot. He's also a certified mechanic as well. And he told me to give you his hashtag, on Instagram at Mojo Grip. That's M-O-J-O Grip, G-R-I-P. And he said hit him up on there. You guys, if you wanted to get a little bit more engaged in aeronautics and aviation, this is certainly the brother to reach out to. He also said give you guys his website, and he says mojogrip.net, www.mojogrip.net, and reach out to brother Michael Ojo. Michael is also one of our Nigerian brothers who live here in the States and has been doing very well with his business in both private aviation piloting as well as mechanic services. And he's based right here in the U.S. So look him up right there, hashtag Mojo Grip on Instagram. And other than that, I guess we're coming to a conclusion. And before we get on into the night, we have some information from the Afro Diaspora News Report. And we had been in touch with Brother Imani Jean-Paul out of Ethiopia, Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, this week, and wanted us to be reminded of the Meseret Humanitarian Project that is still taking place there, and wanted us to be informed about what's happening so that we can be responsive to some of the things that have been taking place with the Meseret Humanitarian Program. Of course, you know there were some recent insurgency that took place there several months ago with the Ethiopian Tigrin War and scrimmage, and things look like they are seeming to get back under control in our African land, ancestral land of Ethiopia. For those of you who are not familiar with the history of Ethiopia, is the Ethiopia was one of the only African, is one of the only African countries that have never been colonized or captured by military from any outside forces. So we definitely give a big up to our brothers and sisters, our Ethiopian brothers and sisters, and we're going to be with them during their trying times. However, with the Meseret Humanitarian Project, we are intending to still send 4 50-gallon plastic barrels filled with donations coming from you brothers and sisters. And so far, we've got a very good contribution. Contributions have come in from all over the United States to provide assistance to those that are in need. And especially in Ethiopia, there are many displaced men and women, as well as children, because of the war situation. And so we like to extend a olive branch to our brothers and sisters in time of need in forging our alliances under the New Africa Network. So we'll provide a little bit more information about how to get connected with that. You can also, if you want to get connected in with the Kiswahili Meseret Humanitarian Program based in Ethiopia, reach out to myself or Brother Imani Jean-Paul at New Africa Network at gmail.com. You can also connect with us at the New Africa Network TV broadcast on YouTube at Africans with an S, United Business, and send us some feedback. That's what we're here for. So other than that, we also want to inform the people, all power to the people. There is a trade mission that is
Thursday. Today is the 7th of April, 2022. My name is Kwame Osuda, so this is the news primary segment here on Pan-African Television. But before then, let me try and share with you what the newspapers have been saying this morning. Daily Graphic this morning says, seal revenue leakages at Tema Port, Ufuata charges GRA. It's quite strange because I do recall that this was one of the things which was said by Ken Ofurata when he was before the appointments committee, that he was actually going to focus on that. So if we have come back to saying that we should seal it at the port, then I don't know. Kumasi International Airport ready in August. Open Galamsey Pit, swallow community members. Cement turf war Regulators distance themselves from Empire Cement. FEM says it's cooperating for permit. These are on the front page of the Daily Graphic newspaper this morning. And at the back, it says 2 million Ghana cedis resettlement project takes off in Ketu South this month. 2 million resettlement project takes off in Ketu South this month. Tamale Teaching Hospital receives anti-malarial drugs. The Daily Dispatch newspaper this morning says Muntaka hailed for challenging Bagbin's decision on three NPP MPs. Muntaka hailed for challenging Bagbin's decision on three NPP MPs. Abu Janapo starts government protection of quarry sector from collapse. Women's football is a worthwhile investment. Chief of Staff says that this on the front page of the Daily Dispatch newspaper this morning. And again, I don't know why we've not taken pictures on the front page so we can flash it so viewers can see. Next time we should do that. And on the back, it's quite interesting. Odate Lamte was ordered to give ex-wife 200,000 Ghana cedis, cars and house at Dome. Parliament needs 60% of MPs to decide on Adrasafo, Ken, Ejapon and Korte. This is unlikely, but absent. Hey, is he still around? It's been a while. The Business Analyst newspaper this morning says COAFS boss launches 5-year strategic plan, delivers fourth public lecture on peace and leadership. Professor Samuel Atodankan here, very nice man. ADB records 52.2% profit in 2021. Balance sheet remains strong. We have the CEO of ADB, Dr. John Kofi Mensah, on the front page of the Business Analyst. Also, Kumasi Bakers to increase price of bread from 7 Ghana cedis to 10 Ghana cedis next week. And Iyoko grabs four suspects over 200,000 SIM swap fraud. MasterCard Foundation IDH partner to strengthen Ghana's grain market with grains for growth program. This is on the front page of the Business Analyst. New Crusading Guide says, blocking leakages, finance minister leads charged with mystery checks. AG adjudged 2021 Best Minister of State. By who? I'm committed to grooming talent, director of scholarship, and 20 Osiahene cautions looters of Osu properties as he calls for peace and unity. 20 alarming facts about the emerging global food shortage. This is on the front page of the New Crusading Guide newspaper this morning. The Vanguard. Telcos offer support for E-Levy takeoff. President courts UK investors. Ekufuado meets Boris Johnson. Minister vows to clamp down on quarry guards. Touts Nana's achievement. Yabuabin. All right. The Vanguard. Let's move on to the Ghanaian Times newspaper this morning. It says, Let loss-making entities go. Kwame Pienim. ECG surges, their charges, some not industries, 415,603 for illegal power connection. Fire guts, Tema Timber Market, property worth millions of Ghana cedis destroyed. Parliament adjourns sitting Sindai. Attorney General adjudged Best Minister for 2021. And on the back page of the Ghanaian Times, 635 communities in Upper West Region not connected to national grid. 635 communities in Upper West Region not connected to national grid. Interesting. The Meridian, government begins practical interventions to block revenue leakages at the port. Interesting after 5 years. Well, let's speak on the economy today. I see. Okay. I see. Waiting with bated breath. The Anchor newspaper says, selfish politicians' chiefs invade CSIR animal research lands with land gas facilities seized, staff attacked as institute risk shut down. Confusion at GIISDEC insubordination power play cited. $800 million new Montahaf North project set to take off. NIA denies extortion claim in similar registration exercise. These are on the front page of the Anchor newspaper. Oh, yeah. Forgive me. This land issue, I think we will need to touch on that. I will discuss it. Daybreak, GHS alert, Emore Kuku. Ghana Health Service alert, Emore Kuku boozing babies. Now, they are deep. Well, when it ferments, I believe. But my responsible homer on economic today. COFS boss launches 5-year strategic plan, and Baba Kamara Dangote in fertilizer partnership. All right. I think I've done a business analyst. Let's do the insight into for this morning. Bank of Ghana data reveals 12% decline in Momo transactions. Bank of Ghana data reveals 12% decline in Momo transactions. One of my favorite news coming from Burkina Faso is that Burkina Faso's ex-president Kampore handed life sentence in absentia over Sankara murder. Finance Ministry says state-owned agencies, enterprises recorded an aggregate loss of 2.61 billion Ghana cedis in 2020. And I've done the insight. Let's do, finally, the Daily Guide newspaper this morning. The Daily Guide newspaper says, NDC flag bearer race gets hotter. Live jail for Blaise Kampore. AG... Why? What got you? This is the Daily Guide newspaper. Yeah, flag bearer, yeah, it gets hotter. AG adjudged best 2021 best minister. Baumia speaks on economy today. Four grabbed in 200,000 SIM fraud. Kasua team killers, Jiros undergo training. Now, Beta Comrandofo. Is he still contesting? Anyway. So these are your newspapers. These are the stories making waves on the front pages of the various newspapers. I've been joined in the studios quite honorably by our very own Honorable Inusa Fuseni, one of the most intelligent people I've ever come across. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, how are you?
Yeah, we can be better.
Okay, we can be better.
Elvis Buta is also here, one of the young, intelligent politicians I know. Good morning.
Yeah. Good morning, sir.
Very sharp guy.
I'm grateful.
Yes. You look small head. You know, 20... much bones, eh? We are special, though.
there's something about much bones.
Oh, we are very special.
Those of us born from 20th... 20th
coming. You know. 20th... It's not part of that group.
Oh, I've not made an analysis. Those born...
Who is 11th, eh? Who one is 11th? Is it 11th or 28th? What is it?
29th.
Oh, then, okay. So then. I'm saying those within our category.
I'm saying those from 20th, there about you should have allowed me land.
Oh, land. Go ahead.
Match bonds are great. You
know? Yeah, very. Yeah, you can argue with your television. If you have any disagreement, look around you. Match bonds, especially those in Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
Your president is a match bond. Honorable, I'm sure you were supposed to be born in March.
Yeah, I don't know when I was born. I'm choosing a date for myself.
Hey. But it's in March, eh?
No, it's in January. Because the year begins in January.
Honorable. January is too stressful. Particularly when you are coming from December.
Neither of my parents went to school. They even had superstition that if another person knew where you were born, you couldn't do it.
Yeah, so me.
Kampore sentenced to life in Sankara's murder trials. Daily Graphic. Baumia speaks on economy today. Bank of Ghana data reveals 12% decline in Momo transactions. Muntaka hailed for challenging Bagbin's decision on three NPP MPs. It's on one of the newspapers. I've forgotten which one, but I'm sure we'll find it. It's somewhere. One of the newspapers, Bagbin hailed. What's his name? Muntaka hailed. Muntaka has been under some heavy attack by Kevin Taylor. I don't know why. And Kevin, I think, what's the newspaper? I'm sure we'll find it. It's quite bold.
Okay.
So yeah. So we are ready for today's conversation. Elvis.
Yes, sir.
When this matter finally was settled, I was full of smiles that finally some justice has prevailed in respect of the Thomas Sankara's matter. For those of you who don't know Thomas Sankara, here. Oh, we didn't add him. That's strange. Anyway.
Oh, I see.
It's quite strange. It's not here. Okay. Maybe we'll have to replace this in Chroma, and then, because we have one in Chroma there, so we'll have to bring Thomas Sankara.
And it's apparently same picture.
Yeah, same picture. So we need to replace this with Thomas Sankara. But he's a one of the Burkina Faso leaders who stood firm and fought against imperialism and set the country on a proper pedestal in terms of independence and growth, and he believed in the African struggle as well. So he's one of the leaders who we admire so much, so dearly. Unfortunately, he was killed by one of his trusted comrades, Blaise Compaoré, who has been handed down life sentence in absentia. But the most important thing is that finally the matter is settled, Elvis.
Yes, good
morning. Yeah, and our very cherished viewers, it's been good to be here again.
Right.
The calamities of last days, they have been sorted well, and I'm grateful to be here. Like you said, I followed same headlines yesterday with lots of lots of satisfaction, shall I say, that if for nothing at all, even if relevant agencies are unable to practicalize the decision of the court, but the soul and the remains of young Thomas Sankara, who died standing up for the truth, who died standing up for the vulnerable, who died standing up against imperialism and the forces of oppression, will find a lot of, if you like it, call it a form of compensation for him wherever he may be. I think that the significance of this whole thing have got to do with the fact that we are able to press down home that justice, and for that matter the rule of law, is an essential component for nation building. It is an essential component, you know, to safeguard the sanctity of society. And so to let things be swept under the carpet does not even encourage people to want to sacrifice in the spirit of patriotism for right causes. What was the crime of Thomas Sankara? What was so huge his crime that his own, I don't like to say best friend, but his own brother, a man he discovered in school and advocated for his father, who was among the elites of today's Burkina Faso, to take care of this poor boy,
pay his fees,
and got him to where he got to in life. And Thomas Sankara himself continued in the same way to make him his closest ally when he eventually became president of Burkina Faso in the this in an age as little as 30 to 80 years, almost my age, would turn around, liaise with the imperialists, murder this person who have made everything about you in life, and beyond them, grant sustainability of that pain in his family, not to even see his remains and to have it for burial. Because Thomas Sankara's remains, the body was hidden.
Yeah.
It was buried in an unknown destination by a philanthropist and his ally. For what crime? If you look at the 87 coup in particular that saw the demise of Thomas Sankara, which was led by Kompore, three reasons were cited. One, Thomas Sankara's offense was that he stood against France controlling the reserves of Burkina Faso and other Francophone African countries.
And you know what? That is still happening today. Because all the French colonies in West Africa, all the French colonies in Africa as a continent, Ivory Coast, Burkina Faso, Togo, they all still go through the pain of having their reserves, economic and financial reserves, deposited at the Central Bank of France.
Then when they are in development need, they are compelled to go to France, borrow their own money from France,
come and work, develop their country, pay back those loans with interest. Who does that? This was what Thomas Sankara stood up against. Thomas Sankara said, no, the resources are ours, the monies are ours. We can as well keep our own monies. We can't always take our money to France, leave it there. When we need it, they won't give it to us. We have to borrow it. Then what shows there is freedom? What shows the emancipation we cried for has been granted? But this was the first reason they cited for his overthrow, telling you that there is that nexus between France and the plotters of the coup, at the apex of which sits a greedy man called Compaoré. So this further reveals the African problem. It illuminates our inability to sustain anybody who stands up for justifiable causes. Look at all our leaders and forebearers. Julius Nyerere, Modibo Keita, you know, our own Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, Sekou Toure. You realize that all these people, majority of them, with the exception of a few like Kenneth Kaunda, who lived fulfilling life, you know, the rest were killed. Patrice Lumumba, who suffered gruesome, the highest form of murder any man can ever have. They killed Patrice Lumumba. This Patrice Lumumba. He was killed, and his body, look at him, young as he was, intelligent man, understudied from the feet of Nkrumah, was murdered.
A very young man, I think he was around 31 or 32.
32. Yeah. Was murdered and his body dissolved
in acid.
And then they kept his teeth as
it
a souvenir.
Was only one of the two they kept as a souvenir.
These people are...
And was recently retained.
Yeah.
He kept in the National
Archive. Yeah.
As a monument and an archival evidence that such a man had ever lived. So painful. But this is not different from what Sankara did. I mean, Kompaoré did to Sankara. So you have a situation where the African brother is a fearful demon. Anyone you uplift
politically, anybody you try uplifting in the business circles, sometimes in your own family, the very person whose hands you want to hold up the ladder, so that
you can fight for a common good, is the one who turns around to betray you. Why? For the attainment of personal satisfaction.
That
is the African problem. And
today,
though these things are not happening
in the very uniform they came with KOD, Let us link it to what is called democracy today. There is no difference. There's only a change in the modus operandi. But there's no difference. The end goal is the same, that people who seek position of power, people who seek position of influence, people who seek access, are engaged in continuously betraying not just themselves, but because of that greed in amassing wealth, that capitalist orientation to governance, have become the bane for which we not only betray our colleagues, we also betray the citizenry, whose common good we should be pursuing. That is the problem across all governments in this country, in Africa, in this continent. That is our problem. And so, if in the end, the man has been given life sentence, I think that, yes, he may not necessarily serve it. A senior lawyer is here, he may probably educate us more on the options. But given the compromise of international law and the diplomatic arrangements of he being in exile in another country, I'm beginning to wonder the school of thought from which we would be able to have this sentence implemented. But it goes down to his integrity and actually wipes out all his gains in life. But you see, you reap what you sow. He who lives by the sword
must die by the sword.
Must always die by the sword. So let us be guided and be guarded. Thank you.
Okay, right. The greatest difficulty we have faced is the neocolonial way of thinking that exists in this country. We were colonized by a country, France, that left us with certain habits. For us, being successful in life, being happy, meant trying to live as they do in France, like the richest of the French, Thomas Sankara. Che Guevara taught us we could dare to have confidence in ourselves, confidence in our abilities. He instilled in us the conviction that struggle is our only recourse. He was a citizen of the free world that together we are in the process of building. That is why we say that Che Guevara is also African and a Burkinabe. Inspiring words from Thomas Sankara. Honorable.
Just a link. I'm told this mic is, apparently I've just made noise. It's not.
No.
People watching are sending me messages.
They will correct it then.
Yeah.
So, I think that, first of all, let's say that what Burkina Faso
has attempted to do is to frown upon impunity. The fact that you committed a heinous crime and then installed yourself as head of state does not in any way insulate you from future prosecution. So that's what they are saying. So if you want, let's say that every leader must know that there will be a day of accountability. And that day of accountability for Kampore arrived yesterday. Now we must also say that while this is a bittersweet ending to the tragic story of Thomas Sankara, who had been dubbed an African Che Guevara, Thomas Sankara himself came to power through a military coup d'etat. But his actions, his attitude towards the people, his commitment to the African dream, his commitment to the people of Burkina Faso, the way he conducted himself, he refused to don Western attire. He sold all government vehicles and bought the cheapest of the cheap vehicles in Burkina Faso. He planted so many trees that today Burkina Faso, the desert, has been stopped somehow. He made the people of Burkina Faso believe in themselves.
Or what they eat.
That is why today in Ghana we have the Sankara cycle. Because he not only inspired the people of Burkina Faso, he's inspired many, many other people. Commentaries and documentaries have been written by this legendary figure. That also teaches us that you might come to power through a
an unorthodox means of attaining power. But when you do come to power with clear mind and vision, and your mission and focus is so clear and so determined, you will leave a lasting legacy. And that's what we're seeing. A problem that we will see from Guinea-Bissau. Now, I agree that a famous Rastafarian sang in the reggae music that I listened to so many years ago when I was in the secondary school or the training college, that the Lord should protect us from our friends. From our friends. And for our enemies, we know them. So you know your enemies, you protect yourself. But as for your friends, they are those that can do the greatest harm to you because you trust them. Thomas Sankara and Blaise Compaoré were very good friends. In fact, it is said that they even formed a military band, and they were both in the band. And Blaise Compaoré sang, Thomas Sankara played the guitar. So they were buddies. They themselves conspired to overthrow the civilian regime of Burkina Faso then. So what would have compelled the Blaise Compaoré to do the Ite Brute, what Brutus did to Julius Caesar? What would have... the story of Brutus and Julius Caesar tells us about human nature. They're your friends. Can always betray you. And that was why when Julius Caesar was murdered and he turned and saw that it was Brutus, he asked, Ite Brute, and you too, Brutus? You are against me? You are against me? Even the story of Judas and Jesus Christ also gives us an indication of the treacherous nature of human beings. Judas was a disciple, but he was the one who received payment for Jesus Christ, not so. So human history is full of such tragedy. The tragedy of trust, if I may call it that way. That you repose trust in somebody, and that person betrays that trust. And that betrayer can be the worst of betrayers. In the case of Burkina Faso, in the case of Blaise Compaoré, not only were his family, Thomas Sankara's family, shocked by the betrayal of Compaoré. I'm sure Compaoré himself did not come to peace with himself. Because how will you justify to your conscience? Somebody you had pledged to be with through thick and thin. You risked your lives together. You had each other's back. You took the ultimate sacrifice of disturbing the constitutional order of Burkina Faso. You won. You were his second most important person in the government of Thomas Sankara. All along the line, this man that you grew up with, that you became his friend and comrade, pulled you along. Or, better expressed, you pulled each other along. So that's why when I listened to the wife of Thomas Sankara, she said, they were not seeking the return of Sankara. Because Sankara was buried in an unmarked grave. And that is one of the charges. Hiding the corpse. But they were seeking justice. He was killed in circumstances that clearly human comprehension cannot clearly comprehend. And that is where the French complexity comes in. He had stood behind imperial interests. He was fighting imperialism. And he was fighting for free Burkina Faso. He was fighting for Burkina Faso to be able to determine their own affairs and chart their own destiny.
Yeah.
And to do so, you need to step on the feet of imperial powers. The imperial powers that have milked the continent, that continue to milk the continent, that will take no, that will not take no for an answer. That will, the world order that has been created by these imperialist forces in Africa would not be disturbed so long as the imperialists are in control. That Africa will continue to be the supplier of raw materials for their industries, for their factories. That Africans' gold will only be worthy if they are exploited and sent to them. Africans' diamonds, mineral resources, have wealth or are worthy if they are sent to them. And so for us, even at the point in time that I was listening to John Baldwin, even for some time, they owned our labor. So they took us as slaves to build Europe free of charge. Children, mothers, fathers died through that project of building Europe and the Americas. They founded nations like Jamaica, Haiti, just for the criminal enterprise of getting rich through the exploitation of the labor of Africans and nothing else. Come to Ghana. They helped us build a Kosombo Dam for their own interest and not for the interest of the black man. So why? How did they do it? When they built a Kosombo Dam, they moved aluminium from Jamaica to Ghana, Accra, for the purposes of smelting. What business sense did it make? What business sense did you make that you will move resources so many kilometers away from its source for the purposes of processing and return them? Because they were exploiting the natural resource, the water. They were buying power so cheaply that they could afford to do that. That is the colonial, that is the imperialist mentality. And so when Thomas Sankara stood up against the imperialist mentality, what did they do? They sponsored not an enemy, but a friend to annihilate him.
He was even advised. He said, oh, my friend, no, it's not possible.
Yes.
He was advised, temporarily.
Yes.
He didn't believe it.
Yeah.
He don't believe it.
So that's it. I mean, so my friend Elvis, my brother, has spoken about Patrice Lumumba. What was his offense?
Because he spoke against the Belgian...
He said, you can't continue to exploit
absolutely.
Our resources that way.
Yeah, I think their ego was bruised because of, you mean where he said it.
Yes.
You know, when he became a prime minister, they said he was going to just fund that. And then the guy stood up and everybody was shocked.
Yeah.
He said, what? In front of us?
Yeah, you can do it. You can do it. And then they were interested in the mineral resources.
Yeah.
And then this man was standing their way. Not only the French who did it. The Belgians who did it.
Yeah.
They had American complicity.
Oh, yeah.
They killed him.
Yeah.
They just killed him. I mean, so for them, no human being is indispensable.
Okay, let me say the wrong number.
Once you become a bottleneck, you are gone.
It's the prosperity of the people and the nation. That is most important and is paramount to them. Oh, no, okay. He inspired many people.
Yeah.
He inspired many people.
Yeah.
And so, at long last, at least justice has been served. And that's why I say it's a bittersweet ending. We don't have Thomas Sankara, do we?
Nope.
What, his vision has been truncated?
Absolutely.
The things that he thought he could do to help Burkina Faso has not been realized. His family will never happen.
His children will never see him. So, yes, but somehow people must not act with impunity. And so justice ought to be served to the family of Tuwa Sankara. And that is the justice that I will serve. As to whether Blaise Compaoré will serve the sentence, he's inevitable. He was tried in absentia. He refused to come. He cited the proceedings of court as political witch hunting, and that he was not sure he would get justice, and that the political system and the system in Burkina Faso generally were against him, and that there was no way he could get justice, and that he was so he would not make himself available. His lawyers made that representation on his behalf in Burkina Faso.
Mm.
So it's fair to say that there are only two things, outcomes that can come. One, Blaise Compaoré spending the rest of his life outside the Burkina Faso.
Yeah.
Or two, if there is a change in government, which government is sympathetic to him, then they can grant him a pardon or set up another court to reverse the decision of this particular court and clear the way for him to return, if the government is sympathetic to him. But as it stands now, it seems the Burkina people, a majority of the Burkina people, are, you know, he gave Burkina Faso
yeah.
the name.
Yeah.
It was called Ouagadougou.
Mm.
Upper Volta.
Upper Volta. Yeah.
It was called Upper Volta, the capital of Ouagadougou.
Yeah.
So he gave it Burkina Faso. Okay, so combining two languages to create the name. So for us, we can only say that, like I said from the beginning, leaders must know that there will always be a day
of accountability. Imperialism is a system of exploitation that occurs not only in the brutal form of those who come with guns to conquer territory. Imperialism often occurs in more subtle forms. Alone, food aid, blackmail. We are fighting the system that allows a handful of men on earth to rule all of humanity.
Yeah, that's what
Thomas Sankara.
Mm.
One of the things one of the quotes that I really like is, and I'm paraphrasing that, we cannot buy champagne only for a select few. Well, we can use that money to buy water for all.
Yeah.
We cannot buy champagne is only enjoyed by, you know, selected few.
Well, it is still true.
It's very true, actually.
In our politics
today.
Yeah,
it's very true. Very, very true. When
very
have,
few men.
When you have a president flying $18,000 an hour, private jet, then
I don't think that this is inappropriate for Elvis.
Why? No, I mean, it is very true. It is very true. And Elvis is in admission.
No, I've not admitted anything. I was making my submission that.
But the submission finds expression.
The betrayal.
Finds expression.
No, the betrayal.
In a conduct.
No,
in a conduct.
No, there is nothing about President Akufo-Addo's regime that is in sync with the illegal enterprise of imperial regimes. You understand?
But if you say that it is
but
true,
I'm saying
today.
That it is still true that in our politics,
yes.
We don't need to. As we're going into the politics of the wrongs of every president, we can dig all from Nkrumah down, but I don't want to go there.
Except in Nkrumah.
But I'm saying that, even in Nkrumah,
no,
even
in
Nkrumah,
people definitely didn't fly. Probably.
Even in Nkrumah, people have their misgivings about it when it comes to economic issues. But you know, I will fight for Nkrumah any day. You know that.
Mm.
Uh-huh. But I'm saying that the betrayal and the all this greed we're talking is still today in our politics today.
Yeah.
And imperialism has come back in a form of new colonialism that creates vulnerability in the first place for you and capitalize on that particular vulnerability to recolonize you. That is what our leaders are suffering today. And that is what we are all suffering. Why? Because the few in positions of access and power just don't want anybody to tell them the truth. And I've always said it on this platform that in our politics, if you are young and you speak the truth, you are cut off. You are blackmailed. Nobody wants you to come closer to him. That was what happened to Thomas Sankara. They think before you can speak the truth, you must compete with Methuselah in age. You must be as old as Methuselah. But 32-year-old butter, who are you? You speak the truth. Ah, that boy, he's this, he's that. They are running everywhere to block any advantage of yours. So this was what compared it to Thomas Sankara. But we continue to take inspiration from people like Thomas Sankara, from people like Patrice Lumumba of Congo, and our own Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, who continue to speak the truth to power. It doesn't matter which party is in power. We continue to speak the truth about Africa, about the ills of our economies, about the realities that confront the majority of the people. Yes, they will influence and they will buy people to hate us. But we will continue in that tangent of truth. One day, when we are gone, after attracting all the bad press from lies and vilifications, we hope to be hailed as Thomas Sankara is hailed. The youth of this country and Africa must take particular interest. Look,
okay.
People like Honorable Yusuf Husseini have nothing to lose on earth. How many parties can he attend?
How many parties can I attend?
How many pieces of meat can he eat in?
No.
The future is ours.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if people say butter is no good, KOD is bad, he's a liar, he's this, he's that. It doesn't matter. Once your conviction tells you what you are doing is right, do it. Let any old man or old woman sit there that the corridors of power destroy you. One thing they can't take from you is your intellect and your intelligence. Use that to speak the truth until you are either killed or you die.
That's a very important but also very bold statement, because it appears that now the younger generation, I don't know whether it is deliberate or otherwise, have drifted from what is right and embracing what is wrong.
Because the older generations in the source of power have connived with some dubious young ones to intimidate any person who wants to speak the truth. So to be relevant, you must be a hypocrite and a bootlicker. Once you refuse to lick ass, once you refuse to be a hypocrite and you speak plainly, trust me, these politicians will not like you.
Ours is only to draw inspiration from history.
Yes.
And use that as a support.
And it's just a few of us who can do that. And let's be ready to suffer the wrath.
Absolutely. But the point really, Honorable Innocent Husseini, is that if you look at the generation of political changes allowed to describe them, so the likes of Kwame Nkrumah, Patrice Lumumba, look at Thomas Sankara, look at the ages, 30, 31,
yes.
32... You know, and pool parity with our generation and what we are interested in. The struggles, you know, which they were involved in are still prevailing. But it appears that our focus and attention have been drifted somewhere else, and we have, you know, allowed for these, you know, old men and women to take center stage. Of course, I mean, they're also very important, but also
yes.
That we must find a way of playing a critical role in the in changing the system, which system has not very clear, you know, benefited us.
Can I be honest with you?
Are not going to be able to change your system until you discover who you are. Because if you sell yourself for a penny, you'll be bought for a carpet. And that is what we are seeing. That people simply have given up. They simply, like in Buddha's words, do not want to strive to achieve. They're looking for the easy way out. They become willing, available, manipulative forms. Yet, insofar as the drummers, whoever pays, they sing the praises of that person.
Yeah.
What can you do? I had come to the conclusion long ago that we don't make the way human beings. We propagate ourselves. We continue our human story. Is that there's always a renewal
Right.
Yes. So like Obed Asamoah said, when the first time we came into power in 2009, he said, yes, we the old must give way for the new. But it's important in the old giving way that we leave one or two old people so that they will share their experiences with the new. But whatever be the case, the old will have to move and the new coming. That's how human history is made. So long ago I came to the conclusion that I cannot pretend as a person to have the wisdom, the strength, the knowledge of all things to continue to perpetuate myself in power.
Why? That's why you left Parliament.
I cannot believe that I, Inus of the Tene, nobody's like me. I mean, nobody's like me because there's no opportunity for somebody to be like me.
Yeah.
That's why nobody's like me. If you give whatever you are, if you give opportunity for people to emerge, they will emerge somebody who will not only be like you, who will be more than you. But if you close the opportunity, you won't get. Where will you get? Come, where will you get? You won't get that. Because that opportunity is not there. So until, why? Even in traditional homes, immediately become of age, your father doesn't assign some responsibilities to you.
And relinquish farmland.
Yes. If your father doesn't assign those responsibilities to you, how will you mature as an adult? You continue to think like a child. That's how we are. And so for me, I agree. The lamentations, the youth, I always lament. And sometimes I cry in my heart. Yes, people just feel that if I come to Honorable Inus Afetene and he gives me 100 Ghana Cedi, no, there's nobody like Honorable Inus Afetene. Is that existence? Is that life? That's not life. Life is when you are able to generate 100 Ghana Cedi by your sweat, by your initiative. And then you feel proud that it is this thing that I've done lawfully that has given me this money. That's life. When you go to school and there's competition, and then you go to school up to the point because there are many people who started P1 with you, and then you work hard, and then you are conferred with a doctorate degree. That is an achievement. That's what you achieve. I mean, what is an achievement even? If you get the doctorate degree, what is that achievement? What does it mean? If it doesn't help change the lives of other people. What is it? If you are a member of parliament, so if you are a minister,
so what?
And it don't help change the lives of people. What is it? So, for me, yes, maybe the youth will, and the up and coming, will see opportunity in investing in themselves, in struggling, because struggle things, hard work things, and not be tied to the apron strings of politicians who can manipulate them at will.
Well, thank you. You wanted to
make
a quick point? Yeah.
You see, this is a complex debate. The question of old guards and the young guards. Do you know that it is an issue of mentality and not only the age? Because look, briefly, so to say, some of us, the very younger one, with all our exuberance, it's a question of what we have channeled that exuberance into. Assembled the finest politicians in this country and the best chiefs are some of the younger ones. Watch well, don't go far. Check in the former Mahama administration. No.
I don't want you to give that example.
No, I'm making an example.
Don't
you
use
must
an example.
No, hold on.
Don't use my
no, with the greatest of hold on. I'm making a point.
No man is fired.
I'm saying that check, I don't want to start from Nkrumah, but check just from Mills Mahama administration. Then you come and check the current Nanado's administration. And you will realize that this issue of young people in politics, we who cry more, some of us, are as dubious as some of the same old gods we are crying about. This is the only point I want to make. So it comes to being that to fight for our continent and country and to stand up for what is right, that desire must be inherent in one's own intrinsic motivation to want to do what is right and proper, to want to die for the cause of this country, because it cuts across. And I'm saying that some of the younger ones like us, we are worse perpetrators of the theft in government, worse perpetrators of the connival and the looting and the sharing. And we are harming our own brothers. Why? Because we want to have it alone.
I'm telling you.
Any other person of our age category, to the extent that it now compels very older people who are as old as your father to bow down at you before they must get their daily bread. This is how dangerous the situation is. So the whole thing is, I think we need that re-education of history so that people will be motivated. K.O., do we need to start going to the universities?
I didn't even start from the university. I started from the senior high schools.
We need to start talking, you know, so that inspiration.
Start from there.
Otherwise,
now this Nooks, I'm told now they have two presidents.
Yes.
Nooks.
They've all become political. Yes, they've all become political.
I don't know this.
So you now see where my... I was only taking a year duration...
I'm happy. I'm very happy with the submissions of the MPP guy. That is the total truth. Wow. Elvis is indeed speaking my conviction this morning, bro. Good job. The youth are not being bold. The fear of two things are our weaknesses. One, hunger. Two, bullet or death. If we can stand firm as youth, Africa would be liberated and the black man would be capable of managing his own affairs. Cosmos Yakubu, salt point. Gael Alexei says, the MPP brother has shown that party is not our problem, but the mindset of the people in those parties. And this one says, watching you live from Jaglumaliri camp, Upper West Region. I hope I got it right. Honorable Inusa Fuseni.
Yes.
Tomorrow, the man you excoriated is speaking on the economy.
Today.
Is that today? Did I say tomorrow?
No, we are 24 hours behind time.
Hey! Did I say tomorrow? I'm actually still in Rwanda. Maybe it's because of the excitement, you know, that your best friend.
Yeah. Oh, he's actually my brother.
Yeah, okay.
He's actually my brother because as growing up, I was classmates to his brothers, his senior brothers.
In the is that your younger brother?
Yes. He's actually my younger brother. And he knows that. Yes, he knows that. And then, at a point in time, I followed his senior brothers to their house. And I was almost, a member of the household. So I know his family.
Okay.
Yes,
He speaks on the economy today.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been forced out of his hibernation. The economy had so arrested him that he lost his voice and his touch.
Yeah.
It appears in the events leading up to the 2016 elections, Bahumia was cast in the mold of a Gumida. And that anything that he touched would be good. I mean, he had the panacea. I mean, he was called the economic whiskey, and he was given
economic offers. Messiah.
He was a messiah. He was given offers to talk at leading universities and to students, and he became the reference point in assessing the John Mahama administration. But whatever he said was held to be the truth, the old truth, and the absolute truth. Now, and he spoke too much. He spoke a lot. And you see, as a political leader, Bahumia too gives us an experience in politics.
Right.
Political. That when the leaders talk too much, they set the stage for their own undoing. Because what they would have said will in subsequent years be used against them. So it is better to work than to talk. It is better to act than to verbalize. And that is what we are seeing from Bolivia.
Right.
Bolivia had told us that the economy, the fundamentals of the economy were so weak. And that all, you were running the country with propaganda. And your fundamentals were so weak. The fundamentals, the truth of the fundamentals were exposed. When he was confronted after winning power, he said, oh, nothing had changed. The matter was as true then as it is true when he was talking. But he forgot that in analyzing and giving the answers on that day, he also engaged in serious propaganda. He sought to confuse people on the principles of animal farm. When he started with two legs, four legs good, two legs bad. He had to rationalize it by saying that four legs good, two legs better. He changed the definition of the depreciation and the fall in the city, the exchange rate. He even was so confident to say that he had arrested the city and given the keys
to the IGP.
Yeah, the IGP. When you know, growing up, he was a very fine gentleman. I mean, when he even came back from his studies and lectureship at abroad and was working with the Bank of Ghana, he was still, very fine. In fact, he was a little shy and withdrawn. Bomia that I knew before was different from the Bomia in politics. The Bomia that I knew growing up was a person who was a little withdrawn, who always held to himself. But Bomia in politics is a different person, a different breed. Now, so when the economy started experiencing very serious difficulties, in the words of Peter Okocha, when the economy was doing very terribly, people expected the economy messiah to speak. But somehow he lost his voice. He could not speak on the economy. The city, as they said, to be the worst performing currency after Russia. Russia's currency is performing badly because of the war and the sanctions imposed. We are not in the war situation. Russia too has been ravaged by COVID. We have also been ravaged by COVID. We are being compared to Russia, a leading world power, not even to African countries. It means that all the other African countries are doing better than us. It must be a matter of concern. And Bomia, as an economist, knows that it is not only COVID or the Russian war. It is the fundamentals of the economy, the structure of the economy. And he knew when he said that he had arrested the city, that the structure of the economy had not changed. That we're net importers. And net importers means that we always have to get foreign exchange, dollars, available to be able to satisfy the demand of people who will bring in us things like toothpick, Nkatia Boga, and
Kulikuli
from China. You know. So, and when they came in, there was no attempt to change the fundamental structure of the